And indeed, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised in this place today. And if you have your Bible, let's open up God's Word together now. Romans chapter 7, a very important passage of Scripture before us this day. Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 25. And it has been said, if you get a chance, just skip through Romans chapter 7. Pay it no attention and hurry up and get to Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible, to be sure. But it's only great because of the nest in which it sits. Having been established and understood these great theological truths and these biblical foundations that God has given to us in Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7. And you are almost there where you can say we've made it through as he spoke to us about the law and sin and even this raw yet very real passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul cries out and he says about himself, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" What in the world does he mean by that? And why is it that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he has chosen to speak this way right before he rolls in? His pen didn't stop. He went right in to chapter 8. Very important passage of Scripture. You know, last time we were together, we were looking the first part of chapter 7. And the Scripture was speaking to us about the law, and Paul was asking us questions. Is the law wrong? Is it bad? And he concluded in verse 12 when he said, "No, in fact, the law is holy and the law is good." God's law is given to us by God. It's of God. It's good. It's holy. We saw in Hebrews, and we reflected on it last time we were together, that God's law has a purpose. But the purpose is not to save us. God's law doesn't remove our sin, but it certainly reveals our sin. In that way, it is much like a mirror. You've got some mud across your face. You look in the mirror. The mirror is not going to lie to you. It's going to show you your face. It doesn't remove the mud, but it reveals the mud. And the law serves that purpose, like an X-ray machine or a CAT scan machine. You go through, you've got something you think is hidden, and it reveals it. God's law is like that, and it shows us for who we are. And so, he said the law is holy and good. By the time we get here in chapter 7, verse 13, he says, well then, about the law, has then what is good, the law, become death to me? Was that its purpose? Has what is good become death to me? He says, certainly not. The problem isn't God's law. Don't blame the mirror. Don't blame the law, but rather the problem is sin inside of us. And that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand. And chapter 8 isn't really as good as it could be if we understood what he really wants to say to us in these next several verses. So let me appeal to you now that you would set aside the distractions, turn off your phone, unless you've got your Bible on it, and listen to what God wants to communicate to us through the Apostle Paul this day. Very important. See, the problem wasn't the law, the problem is sin. He says, but it's sin that it might appear as sin. The law is helping us, man, look at it real closely. This is the source of death in your life. Sin that it might appear and be seen for what it truly is. We need a right diagnosis of ourselves. That it might appear as sin. It was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, the instruction of God, it might, in fact, be exceedingly sinful. Let's shine the light real close. Let's see it for what it is. Let's don't water it down. The world tries to diminish sin. That's no big deal. Hey, we all mess up, right? Isn't that what we say? As if that's an excuse to abide in the sinful nature. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And in that statement, there's not a serious understanding of what you're doing, nor is there a desire to turn away from it, to turn to God and say, God, I want to live in a way that's pleasing to you. And this sin is, in fact, exceedingly sinful to you. So he goes on and he says in verse 14, for we know that the law is, in fact, spiritual. Well, of course the law, God's law, is spiritual. It's from God. It has a spiritual influence in our lives, to be sure. And all of a sudden, from this point forward, Paul is going to be speaking in the present tense. And he's going to use this personal pronoun, I. So now, Paul is writing autobiographically in the present tense. He's talking about himself. And he says, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Whoa. I am sold under sin. This is the Apostle Paul being real, being raw and transparent with us. He's still struggling with the sinful nature. And what he's going to show us, and it's very important that we understand, is that before we were saved, we were carnal. We were of one nature, the sinful nature, and we were slaves to sin. When we got saved by the sovereign grace of God, when we were saved, we were born again. We were new creations in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our lives. But the old nature, the old man, the sinful nature, was not taken away permanently. In fact, when we were saved, we became dual-natured beings. We have two natures. We have, as believers, the sinful nature and now the spiritual nature. And they are warring against one another, battling against one another. How many of you can relate to that? I know you'd all raise your hand. If you're a believer who desires to live for God, you can understand the back and forth. And Paul's going to take us on the back and forth this day. How many of you think that when you got saved, you actually were made perfect? You're totally a spiritual being and you don't struggle with sin at all anymore. I mean, other than my wife. Yeah, you don't want to raise your hand on that one. If you think, man, I don't sin anymore. I got saved. I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't even struggle with sin anymore. Man, I don't know what planet you're living on. You need to talk to the person next to you. They're going to say, no, man, you're still a sinner. You know, some churches, they say, turn to the person next to you and tell them they're still a sinner. No, we don't do that here. We're trying to create love amongst ourselves here. You can tell somebody the truth, though. Listen to this kind of back and forth. Paul says, I am carnal. And that's actually used to speak of Christians who are, rather than being under the influence of the Spirit, sometimes under the influence of sin. He spoke that way to the church in Corinth. Now, he did something that is kind of dangerous. He said about them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, but you are in Christ Jesus. It wasn't about the salvation, but instead they were still fighting and backbiting and gossiping, and they were having all kinds of problems, which was a demonstration of their spiritual immaturity. They weren't growing up in their faith. So he said, you are babes in Christ. You are carnal, worldly in your thinking, under the dominion, bondage of sin. He says here, sold under sin, that is devoted to sin, slaves to sin. And in this battle that he's going through in verse 15, he says, for what I am doing, present tense, what I am doing, I, Paul, what I am doing, I don't understand this back and forth. For what I will to do, that is what I want to do, that I don't do. I don't find myself living out or practicing in my life. I want to do these right things, but I don't find myself necessarily always doing those right things. And he says, and what I hate, man, that's what I'm doing. The very sinful things that I hate, the words that come out of my mouth, the actions and the attitudes of my mind, I don't want to do these things. I hate them, and I find myself doing them. Oh, wretched man that I am. And you probably can empathize with the Apostle Paul. And this is Paul. And this is you and me. Some have suggested three options as to who might be writing this. Some have said the author, whoever he is clearly not a Christian. Well, I don't believe that for a moment. He says right here, the things I want to do, to live for God, I find myself that I'm not doing that. The lost person doesn't even have that thought in their mind that I want to live for God and glorify God with my life. And then he says, the things that I hate, the sinful things that are coming out from the members of my body, I hate those things. Listen, the lost person is just rolling with the world. They don't hate sin. It's not a lost person that's writing this. It's not a person here, I don't believe, that's actually totally a believer, but that's totally wrapped up in sin. I think what we have here is the third option, which would be a regular Christian that is struggling to live a life that honors the Lord. There's this back and forth between the old nature and the new nature, the flesh and the spirit. And this is his wrestling that he's speaking to us honestly about. We can be honest with one another and understand the ramifications that we are dual nature, two nature beings, at least for a while. Now, believe me, there is coming a day, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about it, when this corruptible must put on incorruption, and that which is of the sinful nature is going to be made new in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll have glorified bodies, and we will sin no more. I look forward to that day. How about you? I look forward to the day. Look, we were once one-natured beings, flesh. Then now, having been saved, the spirit and the flesh in one body, there's coming a day with the glorified body. We'll be back to being one-natured beings, that is spiritual. And there'll be no more sin, no more dying, no more death, and no more crying. God will make all things new. He's coming again. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, here we are. Paul says in verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do. Let me translate that. If I don't do what I want to do, I agree that the law is good. The law is good. In other words, you know, I don't want to do certain things, and the law is convicting me and showing me that it's wrong. When I do that, I know that, and by knowing that, I agree. God, your word is right. Your instructions to me are right. I know that. And the law is good. But now, he says, verse 17, you got to be careful when you read verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it. He's making a distinction between the spiritual and the flesh. It's no longer I. He's considering I am this new man in Christ. But that old body of death is still hanging on me. And now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Man, that's a nice excuse. You can imagine. You can tell your kids, I told you not to do that. They're like, it's not me. It wasn't me. It's a sin in me. It wasn't me. You can't punish me. Right? Look, be careful. Anytime you read the Bible and you think it's encouraging you to sin, you're not reading it the right way. Anytime you read the Bible and you think it's giving you an excuse to sin, you're not reading it the right way. That's not what Paul's saying here. He's just referring to this dual nature, and he's like, that old man, that's not me. I'm this new creation in Christ. This old, wretched body of death, that sin nature that's still taking up residence, is warring with me. But that's an important statement. Do you see what the Apostle Paul just said about himself? Sin dwells in me. And the flesh is like that sin factory, and it's just stirring it up. And you think you've got it weighted down and you're abiding in Christ and living, and then something happens and it sets it off, just producing that toxic sin in your life. And it's ruining you, and it's trashing your testimony, and it's damaging and destroying relationships and your ability to live for God. And so God's going to give us some advice in His Word of how to have the victory and how to experience the victory that we have in Christ. And He says this, and having a realistic diagnosis of the problem is key to the solution. Notice what he says in verse 18. He says, for I know. What is it that the Apostle Paul knows? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that sinful nature, in my flesh nothing good dwells. So he would say, I put no confidence in the flesh. Good idea. We put no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in God and the things of the Spirit. He says, for to will, that is to say, the desire to do what is right, is present with me in the spiritual nature. But how to perform that which is right or what is good, I do not find taking place in my life. Verse 19. For the good that I want to do in the spiritual nature, the good that I desire to do, I don't do. Can you relate? But the evil that I don't want to do, that I practice, that I find myself doing. And you know how it is. You have these plans and these goals and these thoughts of, God, I'm going to glorify you. And it happens at the turn of the year. My New Year's resolution. Man, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. every morning and have an hour reading God's Word and meditating on it. I'm going to have a good quiet time. Yeah, at 5 a.m. I'm having good quiet time. Sleeping. Man, it was what I want to do is this, but this old body of death. And you've had some other thoughts on the different side. You were reading in Ephesians, and it says, let no unwholesome word proceedeth out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying and building others up. I'm not going to let any unwholesome words come out of my mouth. That would be a way to please God, and I want to live in a way that pleases God. That means I'm not going to lie. God hates it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to tear others down and throw people under the bus. I'm going to quit saying all those bad things about Pastor David. This is my year, right? I'm going to be building up people, not tearing them down. Let no unwholesome word proceedeth out of your mouth, which includes your Instagram, your Facebook, and your Twitter. Anything that's coming from you, coming out of you, isn't to be tearing down. Stop the lying, stop the gossip, stop the words that are not honoring to the Lord. You read that in the scripture and you're saying, that's who I'm going to be. All of a sudden you get caught up in a conversation and they're throwing somebody under the bus and you just jump right in. You don't even know if it's true or not, and you're gossiping and you're telling things that aren't true and you're using words that are not wholesome. And you go, what did I just do? Maybe you're driving home or you get home and you're like, what was I thinking? What did I just do? There's no way that God's happy with that type of behavior. The things that are good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. It says in verse 20, now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. Not just the Apostle Paul, but each one of us. That old nature is just toxic. And man, if you feed it, that factory is going to come to life. How many of you have discovered that? I was thinking about that in a different way. My dad has been in the hospital for 16 days. So I've been up there the last couple of weeks visiting with him. And in some ways, I want to tell you, it's not really that serious. But in some ways, it's incredibly serious. He has he's had some knee pain, and he went in and he got a cortisone shot a few weeks ago. And evidently, there was some bacteria on the skin. That needle grabbed it, and it just went right into the knee. He's 81 years old. And so the knee started hurting really bad, and they said, you need to go to the ER. He went in, they admitted him to the hospital, and it's gotten infected. And knees have a lot of areas that are hard to get to. By the time you get older, as the arthritic knee that he has gets older, it's very porous, has all these kind of areas in the bone that bacteria can find themselves getting into, that the medicine can't get to or doesn't do well. And so there he is in pain, and it's a bacteria factory. The numbers are shooting through the roof. And that all that bacteria gets into your body, it goes septic, you can die. So while it is just a knee infection, he could die at any moment. And so it becomes very serious. The antibiotics were working to some extent, and they were bringing the bacteria levels down for a while, but they weren't getting rid of it. And you got to get rid of it before you do another operation for knee replacement or something else. And then they started actually escalating again, and the pain is severe. He's like, man, I don't do drugs, but now they've turned me into a druggie. I'm taking this oxycodone for the pain. The pain's not going away. They're drugging me up. And I'm sitting in here. You get there for 14 days. You start losing perspective on things. So y'all pray for my dad, but this thing is a factory. So they said they were going to try to go in. I said, man, you'd almost be better off just cut the leg off and live if this bacteria is just a factory. And our old nature, our sinful nature, is like a sin factory, a bacteria factory. It's ready. If you give it the right conditions, it'll fill you up, and you can go toxic in your sin. Man, you start throwing everybody under the bus. You start lying. You start living according to the flesh. It's a sin factory. I'm glad yesterday they did the surgery where they cut out a lot of the knee in those porous areas, and they put a wedge in that gets local antibiotics to the scene. And I'm thinking, man, when he wakes up, he's going to be in a ton of pain when you cut out a good part of the bone there in the knee. He woke up and he says, man, I'm feeling good. He said, the pain is seriously lessened. Get the sin out. Get the bacteria out. Clean that up. He's got a long road to go, but if the bacteria is gone, then we can work on a knee replacement and we can get walking again. Look, there's some spiritual parallels there. Man, you're feeding a toxic environment. You're listening to people who are toxic, and they're doing things contrary to the Word of God and speaking to a way that's contrary to the Word of God, you find yourself jumping in. And he says, the things that I know I should do, I'm not doing. and the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself participating in it, and it's toxic. That old sinful nature is like a sin factory in our lives. So he says, and I find in verse 21, he says, I find in this principle, this law, that evil is present with me. Paul? Yeah, Paul's being real with us here, isn't he? Raw Christianity, right in front of us, right in front of our very eyes, the Apostle Paul. I find then this principle at work in my life, that evil and sin is present with me, the one who wants to do what is good. And I think all of us can relate to that, if you're being honest. Now, I know Sunday's the time when you come in and we're all holier than thou for about an hour, right? Until you get in the car. Man, no longer you're on Capitol Boulevard. Man, your wife's looking at you like, man, we just left church. Here you go already, getting started on the week early, right? That we might be filled with the Spirit is the idea. That we're feeding the spiritual nature and starving that toxic nature of sin. But you know what this is telling us as the people of God today? That all of us have a sinful nature. That sin dwells in each one of us. That how we come together as the people of God and get along is very important. With this in mind, it tells me that we're going to have to, if we're going to serve the Lord together as the body of Christ, rather than having a body in chaos fighting with one another, that as we understand one another, that we have struggles with sin, then maybe we decide that I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be forgiving. We must be willing to forgive. We must be willing to be patient with one another as we need others to forgive and be patient with us. We must be willing to encourage, to pray for, and to prop one another up in our most holy faith, because I desire to see every one of you thriving in your relationship with God. And I know there are times where it's going to be difficult. We have to be patient with one another. We would agree with the Apostle John, who says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. Spiritual children that we should care for and love one another. Jesus says, how is the world going to know that this is true, that the message is true? And he pointed it back. He pointed it back to how the people of God get along. And he says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, in that you have love one for another. God is calling you to love other sinners when they fall short. But if you're going to lose it just because you got offended, it won't take long. Do you know that? I mean, someone's going to offend you. I'm offended. Won't take long because we're all sinners. You're going to get offended. You're going to roll out. I can't be there with sinners. Oh, go to another place where there's sinners. And you're a sinner too. And so think about the ramifications of body life when all of us are in this category. Very important. He says in verse 22, for I delight, my pleasure, my heart, I delight in the law of God, God's ways. Do you? See, I think you do. That you delight in God's ways. Paul says that. According to the spiritual, the inward man. Verse 23, but yet I see another law, another principle taking place in my members, the members of my body. My eyes aren't going where they should go. My mouth is speaking things that it shouldn't speak. I'm tuning in to conversations I should really just not be a part of. And all of these things, my body members, he says here, warring against the law of my mind, the spiritual nature, and they're bringing me down into captivity to the law of sin, the flesh, which is in my members, Paul says that he finds. And I don't know if you've ever just heard the expression of a tired, worn out, defeated person when they say, "Ugh." But that's where he's at. He says, all these things, warring against the spirit, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. And then he shouts out in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Wretched, miserable man. And the idea of wretched is someone who has just been beaten down from the continuous strain of the warfare. He's tired, he's looking for deliverance, and he cries out, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, Paul, living in that time and familiar with the Roman Empire, Romans were pretty creative with their torture and their punishment. They brought in crucifixion. There was also a form of punishment for many crimes, but especially for murderers. For murderers, they would sometimes take the murderer and tie him to the person that he murdered. They would bind them wrist to wrist, face to face, chest to chest, belly to belly, knee to knee, and they were bound together. The murderer with his victim, the dead corpse, they would be bound together so that they were attached, and the murderer was seeing this decomposing body of death right before him. It was attached to him, that everywhere he went and every move he made, it was right there as a part of him. And it was grotesque, a gruesome punishment to be sure. And Paul would have been familiar with that. And I believe that he has this in mind as he speaks very vividly to us today. "Oh, wretched, miserable man that I am, who is going to deliver me from this body of death that he saw attached to himself?" This decomposing corpse, the flesh that was a part of who he was, and he longed to separate himself from the sinful nature. And so he cries out and he says, "Who will deliver me?" But I want you to see in God's word today that he does not say, "What will deliver me?" But rather he understood that it was a person who will deliver me from this body of death. And he says, "I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. The one who has delivered you, the one who will deliver you. There is a time that is coming that we will no longer be bound to this body of death that stirs up this toxic sin in our lives, because we desire to serve the Lord and glorify God and walk with Him. And yet we find ourselves doing something contrary to the things that we believe and desire to do. It's not necessarily because we're hypocrites. It's because we have these two natures that are warring against one another. And I want you to know that I love you and that I pray for you, that I desire to see you, to see my own family and my children walking with the Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ because I know that He is able to deliver you and give us the victory. And He says here, "So then with the mind that is the spiritual nature, I serve the law of God. I serve and do it God's way in my spirit. And yet I still acknowledge with the flesh, the law of sin is still present in my life." But in that, we find that the scriptures tell us how to navigate through this difficult situation that we find ourselves in. A world in which the devil is real. The flesh and the body of death is attached to us. And the world and its philosophies are trying to persuade you. Yet we have directions to a better way that takes us to a better place. We have the writings, the very breath of God on paper, that tells us that there is a path of victory. And so the Apostle Paul writes to us in Galatians 5:16, and he says that we should walk in the Spirit, and thereby we would not gratify the desires and the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, beloved. Jesus has told us, abide in me. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, listen, then you're not going to abide in sin and the ways of the world. The Apostle Paul would write in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 through 20, and he tells the people of God, be ye filled with the Spirit. Open up your sails and let the wind fill you with the Spirit of God, that you be filled with the Spirit, not the spirit of the flesh or the ways of the world. That as we walk in the Spirit, as we abide in Christ, as we are filled with the Spirit, we can have victory. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we're beat down, and we're worn out, and we battle day by day against the flesh, but we find deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then listen, and when we come to the end of ourselves, when you come to the end of yourself and you are at rock bottom, you'll find that Jesus is the rock at the bottom who meets you there. And when we are at the end, when we are at the end of ourselves, grace begins. Grace begins and finds us there. And grace picks us up. And that which we could not do in and of ourselves, God's grace and mercy picks us up. And the Apostle Paul would flow without a chapter break right into what we call chapter 8. And he says, therefore, summing it all up, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he launches into the most beautiful chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Now we understood the condition of our hearts before we enter into this beautiful chapter. We all can identify with the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word to us today. It speaks truth into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would sow these words into our hearts, our minds, that we might be found pleasing to you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.